Welcome to the Tea Party, the Hatmakers podcast where we connect with hatters from around the world. Talk hats and hat making to build the community and share tips and tricks to take your hat making to the next level. So sit back, pour yourself a brew, and settle in because here comes the show. In this episode of the Hatmakers podcast, we're chatting with Damien from Haberdash Hats. Based out of San Diego, California, Damien's hats have caught the eye of many admirers from around the world. With a thriving online following, an actual bricks and mortar store, and Instagram reels boasting over 6.5 million views, stay tuned to hear the story behind the brand and get an insight to the man who makes the hats. So without further ado, here's my chat with Damien.
Yeah.
Good to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's start. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
I am Damien, and I live in San Diego, California. Well, actually, on the outskirts of San Diego, so up in Jamul, up in the mountains of San Diego. And I'm a hat maker and a jeweler and a business owner. I own a shop here in San Diego as well, so doing all the things.
Right on.
Yeah.
So how long have you been making hats for?
Around the same time as you, right? You started in 2017?
That's right.
Yeah. So we've been at it around the same time. I think I kicked off maybe like a year prior to that with just reworking vintage hats, but then finally got into it 2017, started making them from scratch.
Right on. And so how did you get inspired to start? What got you into it?
I've just always loved hats, you know, and like wanted some really fancy ones, but I'm just too damn cheap. So I was like, hey, why not spend a shit ton of money on tools and start making my my own hats? So that's what I did. And it's been a great journey.
Yeah, that sounds like how a lot of us got into
it. Yeah.
And so what were some of the first hats that you made?
Oh, first hats, like for myself, obviously, my wife. So started off there, and then you know how it goes, it just catches like wildfire. People ask about it, you know, working a lot of the local farmers markets here in town, and then music festivals really kind of got me kick-started. So that's where I did a lot of my my hat making, and started getting people really, really into it and involved with the hats.
Yeah, right. And so how did you teach us? Did you teach yourself or did you learn with a master, a mentor?
Well, self-taught for the most part, but then like some of us, we've got online and I found this old cowboy making hats on YouTube. And man, he was crazy. He was wild. And so I just took what I could from him. And then, you know, just over time, you just figure out your own way and you start just banging them out and just like fine wine, they get better with time. So my first ones were not great, but you know, that's how it goes.
You find your way. Was that old guy Grizz? Was that Hats by Grizz?
Mm-mm. No, I forget his name. He was just some like, I mean, I'm talking old cowboy. He's probably in his like late 60s, early 70s. Just like rough as rusty nails, dude. His setup was amazing too. I mean, he had his big boiler out there, and he wasn't steaming them. He was actually dropping them solid, like straight up in the hot water, grabbing them out with his calloused hands and throwing them over the blocks that way. So that's the way I started doing it at first. And then I saw, you know, just as time went on and more hatters popped up on Instagram, I just realized like, oh, you know, you could get away with just using steam and not boiling the shit out of your hand and everything else. So yeah, it was interesting transition, but cool nonetheless.
When you started, did you find that there was a lot of information, or was it a little bit hard to come by?
Definitely hard to come by. But the tools, you know, if you didn't find them out there, because a lot of the time they were really expensive, and being a woodworker by trade, I made a lot of my own tools. But buying the hat blocks was easier in the beginning. I found it because I've been trying to help out a few hatters now, and they're having a harder time finding some of those blocks. But I know there's a lot of hat like block makers now, which are making it a lot easier for the hatters in this day and age. But when you and I first started, it was pretty sparse.
It's pretty slim pickings back in the day, coming by information and tools, that's for sure. And that wasn't really all that long ago, really, 5 or 6 years ago.
No, if you think about it. But like the hat industry has grown significantly, I would say. There's been quite the boom. So
absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot more out there. And then, you know, I've been accused of being a gatekeeper with information, and like, I try to give it when I can, but man, like, I didn't have that. So not that that's, you know, making it any better, but get out there and just, that's what I tell people. Just try, just put your hands to the grindstone and do it, man.
Yeah. There's something about finding out that information for yourself, discovering it and putting it all together.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not going to hold your hand through the process.
So what kind of obstacles did you have to overcome to learn and to get to where you are?
You know, just getting into like a good supplier was the tough part, and getting those blanks. 'Cause you know, after a while it was tough to find some old vintage ones and just rework those, you know, just auctions and stuff like that online. It was tough, and they were getting quite expensive. And so I finally got in with a supplier, and that helped significantly until recently. Now that there's more of a flood of the in the hat industry, it's harder to get them to ship things out. So it's still hard. You know, there's still little struggles here and there, but I mean, I've been pretty blessed, so no complaints here.
Yeah. The felt situation's a bit of a issue at the moment.
Yeah
it seems like everybody's struggling to get good quantities.
Yep.
So what was the first hat that you made? Was it a one that you made yourself, or was it an older one that you redid?
Yeah, I would say the very first one I made was definitely a reworked one. Both made, you know, one for myself and one for my wife. And Then from there, it was just like good friends would hit me up for a hat. And then working the festivals, I was just getting a lot of hats out there in the world. I mean, that's it, really.
So you're a jeweler as well, and I think your partner is too. And you guys were selling jewelry at festivals, and then you incorporated hats later on. Is that how it went?
Yeah, well, it was... it was jewelry and then vintage clothing. And then, the hats, I was just decorating them. I'd buy old, you know, hats at the swap meet and then just decorate it, throw a little price tag on that and make my time worth it. And then, just moved on from there.
And when did things start changing for you? When did you start taking it a bit more seriously and start thinking this is what I'm going to do and focus on it?
Oh man, I don't take it seriously. No, I'm just joking. No, I'd say around 2017, 2018, I just really dove in and just, I still am a jeweler for sure. I still love going out and hunting for vintage clothing for our store. But it went from just being like a hobby hat maker to like a legitimate hat maker, I'd say within the last maybe like 4 years is when it really kicked off. And then just getting a lot of custom orders through Instagram and through the shop. So yeah, definitely blessed over here.
So tell us a little bit about your shop. It's a collective, is that right?
Yeah, it's called the Gold Dust Collective. It's right in the heart of North Park down in San Diego. We sell oddities, curiosities, obviously my hats and our jewelry, vintage clothing. But it's a lot of funky stuff, taxidermy, you know, wet specimens. Kate and I do a lot of my partner and I do a lot of refurbing of taxidermy and do a lot of pinning for the entomology. So we do a lot of the bugs and the butterflies and such. And it's fun. You know, I think if I just had to do hats, I'd probably lose my mind with my ADHD. I've got that. I'm just all over the place. So I like to have my hands in just different projects and doing fun, cool stuff all the time. And it's nice because then that inspires me, you know, in the hat realm, because I'm not having to do just that. I can also incorporate all these other things into the hat making. So it's nice.
Yeah. A man of many hats, so to speak.
You know.
Yeah, man, those oddities that you have, the little taxidermy pieces, look really cool. Like, you've got one heck of a workshop there. I've seen a little bit of a tour of it. Looks amazing. How long have you been there for?
We've been here a little over 2 years now. Most of the dwellings were already built here. My workshop, it's an old adobe building built back in the 80s. So not that old, but, you know, older. But it's all just straw and mud. I mean, it's great. It keeps, you know, the insulation's nice, so it keeps the temperature in here quite regulated. Ideal for the hat making with all the heat that we use. Yeah. So, yeah, it's ideal.
Yeah, dealing with mold in humid environments is not good, so it's nice where it's really dry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you get out there, don't you? A lot of humidity.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you remember your first hat customer?
My first hat customer was, actually, it was this really sweet woman. She was surprising her husband. They were about to have their first baby, and she wanted a hat made for him because he's a big cowboy. And, yeah, it was just lovely, just that interaction. It was like, my first dive into that custom world, and she made it really a really lovely experience. And I've had multiple lovely experiences since, but I've also had some not so great ones. I'm sure you've dealt with that as well.
The nature of the business.
People, you know. Yeah. They're interesting creatures, we are. So
and so what type of felts and materials do you prefer to work with?
I mean, preferably beaver all day. I mean, that stuff's just like working with butter, but it's also quite expensive, and not everyone has that budget. So, you know, I'll play around with rabbit or a combination of the two. And then, it's primarily that, just the blends or where it's at. I don't mess with wool anymore. It just doesn't hold up.
Yeah. Wool felt a little, awkward to deal with. Doesn't really have that long-lasting appeal.
Yep, exactly.
So what would you say your style is like?
Oh, my style. Man, I don't even know if I want to put myself in that little pigeonhole. I just, you know, I grew up skateboarding, had a huge hip-hop influence, also a lot of punk rock, and so I grew up in the South for a little while there, so I took on a lot of that like country style horseback riding, and so it's pretty much all over the place. I love the city life, but I also love being a country boy. So blending the two is a beautiful thing. I feel like just getting inspired and you know, sometimes letting the customer really do the talking too, and let their voice come through in a hat is really important to me. So my style can fluctuate depending on who the customer is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so how does it go when you're working with like a client? Are you, excuse me, are you talking about ideas, or do they have something in mind, or will they ask you to come up with something specific for them?
You know, I feel like it can go many directions. There are some people that have a very clear vision, and I love that. But I also love the people that come up to me and they're like, I have no idea what I want, but I love your work. And then they just give me free rein to do what I want to do. And that's also nice. But if it's going to be on their head, they're going to be wearing this hat, I really want it to be an extension of who they are. And so, you know, there have been times where I'm like, yo, you need to dig deep and figure out like who you are, what your essence is, because I want that to come through on this hat. And then it's really cool. It's neat watching them kind of grow in that way, because then they learn a little bit about themselves through the process. And that's, to me, that's priceless.
Yeah, that's nice, mate. Yeah. So, do you have a preference between clean or distressed hats?
No, not really. I do love a clean hat. I really like this. I mean, I'm kind of a simple guy. I like simplicity. And then some people want that kitchen sink, you know, and they want everything thrown on the thing. And a lot of the times I'll have to, you know, rein them in and be like, yo, let's think about this. That's a little too much. I mean, I put it a little more gently than that, but you know, just try to get them to realize like, oh, I try to make them think that it's their idea, that they want a little bit less than they're actually in their mind. Because, you know, if you're not an artist, you do have a hard time, you know, visualizing or like conceptualizing an idea and then putting it down on a physical form. So,
yeah, sometimes it's better to go a little more subtle than to overwhelm the hat.
Yeah, well, and then too, they can add to the hat down the road if they want to throw some feathers in there, some playing cards. A hat should, you know, it should definitely evolve with life as they grow and develop as well. So the evolution of a hat.
Yeah, I like to help tell the story about them in the beginning, but then for them to tell their story as they go on.
Yep, exactly.
Mate,
that.
I've noticed that you do a little bit of dyeing of the felts that you've got.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun. It's a challenge because it's not always 100%. You know, the dye and the fabric, sometimes they don't marry well together. So those ones definitely come out. And I really try to emphasize the distressing on those because already there's some discrepancies in the dye. And so it's nice to just hit it with some fire, rough it up a bit. And it really just kind of brings that whole thing to life.
Where do you draw your inspiration from?
You mostly. No. No, like just all over, man. I love, you know, on our property, I get to go for hikes all the time and just like get out there in nature. Nature is my number one influencer. And then, yeah, I mean, just art, love some art, some music. I'm never in my shop without some music. And that can also either, you know, take me back to a place in time or, yeah, just brings out some deeply rooted
trauma.
Yeah. Just sure, that too. But yeah, it just brings out that inspiration, you know. And then a lot of the times, like I'll just go in my fabric bin and I'll just pull a bunch of stuff out, throw it on the floor, see how it falls. It's almost like you know, the old witch doctors, they'd throw bones on the ground and see how they land and then tell the story. It's kind of like that with fabric, you know. You just, okay, that's it right there. That's the color combination, you know. Just have fun with it, not take it too seriously.
Do you usually have something in mind or do you tend to go with the flow?
It depends. I mean, I could say both, really. Like, there are times where there's just like my customer has a clear vision, I have a clear vision. And like just recently, yesterday, actually, I made my wife a hat for her birthday. And it all just kind of came together. She had her input, of course, as she does. But yeah, it kind of flowed and she came out and she's like, I just don't like that one thing right there. And I took it off and that was it. It was the winner. So, nice. Yeah. Mm.
And I've seen in some of your pictures, you've had a few collaborations along the way. There's one in particular, I think, with a bridal company.
Oh yeah. Rudasan. Yeah. They reached out a couple of years ago. Did a few bridal hats for them, for their showroom. And then there was just kind of like a nice little kickback from that. They got a portion of each hat sale and yeah, it was good. It lasted about, I'd say about a good 3 years. It was a good run and, haven't really had anything from it since, but you know, it ran its course.
There were some really beautiful photos in there, and I loved the hats just blended so well with the dresses and the landscape, and I love the till death.
Oh, yeah.
Burn into the brim.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And I've also noticed that your following on Instagram has gone up dramatically.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of your reels, and there's over over 6 million views.
It's insane, dude. That's all it took was like one, it was one reel that just went off like wildfire. And that was it, dude. It just, it jumped up like 50,000 followers. And I just, I couldn't believe it. I was kind of speechless, you know, also very humbled by the whole situation. And yeah, thanks. Thanks, Instagram.
Yeah. Won the lottery. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed an increase in orders or interest since that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's been quite an uptick in orders. Had to, had to bump up the wait time. So yeah, yeah. But people are happy to wait. You know, it's kind of cool. It definitely feels really good that people appreciate my work that much that they're willing to wait instead of, you know, running to you or somebody else.
Yeah. Willing to hold the course with the one they love the most.
Oh man. No, I've sent you some customers, definitely, just cause I love you, buddy. So it's whenever I'm like, yo, I think you need to find this guy because he's amazing, and they go out.
Yeah, I'm the same, especially if someone's looking for something in particular.
Yeah.
And if they want you to kind of try and copy it, I'd rather send it to the person who did
it. Yeah, you know, it just doesn't do the other artist justice when you're, and I tell people that all the time. I'm like, look, you know, I do me, and I'm not going to sit there and, you know, piece by piece put somebody else's hat together. It's just not right. So yeah.
Man, there's a few cool things that I've seen I'd love to do, but I just won't.
Oh, I know. Yes. I know. Same. I actually did one today just because everyone else has been doing it. Can I show you real quick?
Please, yeah.
All right. So I had this tequila bottle that had a it's a skull. Uh-huh. And I've seen people doing the skulls and the hat, so I did my version of that. Did all right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So anyway, that's the only time I've really copied somebody else's. Yeah. And I just noticed a lot of, like, there was three or four hatters that were doing it. So I was like, you know what? It's now just like a thing.
Everybody's, yeah.
It's not one person's thing. It's like, it's, yeah. So anyway,
yeah,
that's that. Never again.
So what do you prefer? Do you prefer making customs or would you prefer ready to wear stock or your design?
Yeah, you know, it's tricky. I feel like when I've got a good run of customs, I definitely get a little burnt out just because it's everyone else's ideas that I'm having to do. Whereas I do love like full creative license to just go for what I like to do. So it just depends. It really depends. You know, like the customs definitely, they pay the bills for sure to keep the lights on. And a lot of my clients just love what I do. So they let me just go for it. They give me a very loose guideline and I just go. But there is something to be said about just connecting with a good person and just like really dialing who they are and then transferring it to a hat. It's really special. And then getting that message once they received it with them wearing it and just like gushing about it. It's yeah. It's why we do it. Definitely why we do it. So
those messages in reply are like, yeah, the best. It's always a little nerve wracking when you check the tracking and to see that's finally arrived.
Oh man, especially when they go overseas, I'm like, please get there, please. And then please fit. I hope you gave me the right size.
So what do you do when you're trying to get the right size from a customer that may not be in person?
Oh man, I just hold their hand and walk them through it like step by step. I've got a little how-to video that I send them. And then I'm like, please, 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 if you have any questions, just reach out. You know, make sure to measure at least 3 times minimum, accounting for all the lumps and bumps on your head and this, that, and the other. So yeah, there's only been a handful of times where I got that message and it's like, the hat doesn't fit, it's too tight or it's, you know, too big, whatever. And it's just like, oh, all right, here we go. My worst nightmare.
Do you find that people measure wrong, or is it like the head shape that's maybe a little bit different proportion to the shape of the hat?
Yeah, you know, initially my first few that I sent out, I wasn't as specific as I should have been, because you know there are a lot of round or oval shaped heads, and I wasn't asking that. I was just having them measure. And that makes a huge difference if, you know, I don't need to speak to you about this, but yeah, you really have to figure out, like, ask all those special questions and make sure it's dialed in.
Yeah. And when you do a consult with someone, is it mostly over text and messages, or are you doing a video consultation?
No, it's primarily over messaging, just on Instagram. Yeah, unless, like, people come to the shop, and that's in person, and that's always nice. But the only time I get those is if they're local to San Diego, if they live up in L.A., or they're just traveling through, which seldom happens. But, yeah, I would say a good solid 85, 90% is through Instagram.
Yep. And are they based mostly in the States or all around the world?
All over. Yeah, yeah. All over the place. Mostly in the States. I would say probably like 60% in the States, and then the rest are from all around the world.
What are some interesting countries that you didn't suspect that you would send a hat to?
Oh, what was the one I just sent one to? Malta? Yeah. One just ran off to Malta. A bunch, like Paris, London, the usual places there, but I thought Malta was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite hat that you've made?
Yeah, actually, I made one for one of the singers of Snotty Nose Rez Kids. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, up in British Columbia, they came through and played a set here in San Diego, and so I lined it up. I was like, "Look, man, I will make you a hat. Come on through the shop and pick it up." And that one was really special. It was a open crown, did a nice little burgundy dye job on it. I put a beeswax finish, which turned out really cool because they live in a wet climate. So I figured that would help wick the water a lot more than just plain beaver. And then just added a few little things that represented who they are and put like one of their little quote from one of their songs on there. And it was, yeah, that was a special one. For sure.
Yeah, nice. And is there anyone that you'd like to make a hat for, past or present?
All right. Well, why don't we do a present and a past? Because I thought making a hat for Jimi Hendrix would just be the cat's meow. That would just be rad. And present, I would say, and she reached out to me on Instagram. She just never got back to me. But Erykah Badu. I really want to get a hat on that beautiful woman's head. So, Erica, if you're listening,
she will be.
Hit me up.
Nice. And yeah. What about hat makers? Do you have any hat makers that you look up to or that whose work that you admire?
I mean, obviously you, buddy, hands down. Thanks, but there, I mean, there's just so many. It's hard to even spout them all off. Hats off to all the new ones that are coming up and trying their hand at it. Yeah, they're all inspirational and rad, and I just love it. I love this hat, our little hat gang we've got going.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a bunch of guys that started before it kind of got cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they've been around for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
I guess they're the ones that do it properly, and we all kind of looked at their videos online, try to get some little hints and tips. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like there's a whole bunch of, like, yeah, the newbies like me and you and everyone else really who's kind of jumped on board. And yeah, it's real interesting to see the different ways that people are making hats and how everyone got to learn. But yeah, there's some of those older guys that I'm really into that I'd love to chat with along the way too.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to watch some of the podcasts and see whose brain you're picking.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad to have yours.
Ah, thanks. Appreciate it.
So what?
Honored to be here.
So what do you love most about hat making?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just so, like, all-encompassing. You're working with your hands. Like I said before, I was a carpenter for many years, so I love building. So it's, you know, whenever I talk to a customer, I refer to it as a build. And so you get to build this hat, and then you also get to artistically flare it out, which is amazing. So it's just, the best of both worlds, really.
What's something that you know now but wished you knew in the beginning?
Oh man. You know, I read this one on your, I'll have to be honest with you. I read like some of what you're going to ask me. And then I love to freestyle it. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let them throw things at me. Cause if I overthink it, I'm just going to botch this whole thing up. I don't want to look like an idiot on here. So, you know, I don't know. I think everything that has happened up until now has been just part of the journey. You know, it's the mistakes I've made are great because I learn from those, or I don't learn from them and I continue to make the mistake, and then maybe one day I'll learn. I don't know, hopefully. But yeah, just that's it, really. Just kind of going at it and doing my thing, hoping it sticks.
Yeah, well, it's sticking pretty well, mate.
I think so. I'm still having fun with it. So I think the moment I stop having fun is when I stop making hats and turn it over to the youngsters and let them do their thing, you know, and then just retire and feed my chickens and my goats, and that's it.
Live the old man life.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
So how about you tell us a little bit about the name Haberdash Hats? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so, you know, my wife and I were doing a little research online and just trying to figure out, because I've got some Viking ancestry. And so I was trying to, you know, we were trying to figure out what, you know, if what or if there was anything back in the day that the Vikings did that was like kind of comparable. I know they didn't make hats like this, but that word stemmed from like a Nordic word. So I was like, you know, haberdashery is cool. Why not just go with like haberdash hats? And it just, we came up with the logo and it stuck. It's part of the deal now.
Yeah.
And since then I've looked at other, and I'm like, ooh, that's like, you'll see other cool hat names like Creature. And I'm just like, oh man, his name is cool. I wish I would have thought of something like that.
Mine's way too long. Haberdash Hats is a nice one. I wish I chose that.
Oh shoot. Grass is always greener, right?
Absolutely. So yeah. With this Viking background of yours, you've just been to Iceland as well.
Yeah, that's why it was on the old bucket list. I just needed to get back to the old ancestry stomping grounds. And yeah, man, it was really cool. Got me super inspired for making some hats and just some jewelry too, actually. There were some really amazing jewelers out there that were just doing it right, you know, doing it the old fashioned way. And just got super inspired.
Yeah. How long were you guys up there for?
10 days in total, 8 days travel, or 10 days travel, 8 days on the ground. Covered a lot of ground too. We rented a car, so we were just all up and down hitting. I'm a big whore for hot springs, so I was hitting all the hot springs. And then anything ancient and like that told a story, we'd stop and read the little placard. Geysers, waterfalls, you name it.
Unfortunately, we had a slight technical hiccup and were unable to record the last part of the chat. Damien went on to describe a bit more of his trip to Iceland and gave us some tips for beginner hat makers. This definitely won't be our last chat with Damien, so we'll catch up and hear more with him down the track in some future episodes. Until then, go check out his work at haberdashhats.com. Follow him on Instagram at haberdash_hats. Or if you're in San Diego, go check out his store, the Gold Dust Collective, at 3824 Ray Street. If you like what you're hearing here or you want to be on the show, go follow us over on Instagram at the Hatmakers Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm a hatter at Creatures of the Wild Unknown, so you can check out my work there. I hope that you like this one with Haberdash Hats. Stay tuned because we've got more hatmaker interviews lined up and episodes coming out every Thursday. So I'll catch you on the next one, and until then, keep on hatting.